Greetings. Welcome, bienvenidos. Hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadikarap, guten tak, jau, wivi, vakat, bang, gaijinendra, salam, shalom, peace. Now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection, prison, killitary, industrial court nation in the cheese covered. Bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food born in the NSA, NRA, USA. Ah, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts in the Wall Street backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and having a technical problem today connecting to the studio, so I'm coming to you via my phone. So it's not quite together here, last-minute technical problem. I don't know, you know, thought I pressed the usual buttons, but such can be the case sometimes. So here we are. You know, you never know when the meat industry wants to hack in, and meat, dairy, fish, and egg industry, or the animal rights industry, for that matter, huh? So anyway, I will be coming to you today via my phone, as opposed to via the normal studio route. This week, I see that there's a reaction. Arby's has written a letter to vegetarians on PR Newswire. I think that Nathan Runkle may have responded in the Huffington Post to that. Dear vegetarians, Arby's saying, are you a vegetarian? Temptation is hard. Relief is a click away. I do wonder what Arby's means by vegetarian. Well, probably not a vegan vegetarian, the kind of vegetarian I guess that I am. Huh? Am I a vegetarian? I'm a vegan vegetarian. Huh? But Arby's is more likely trying to appeal to the vegetarian with an asterisk, meaning, you know, the non-vegetarian vegetarian consumer of animal products. You know, making the word vegetarian meaningless, useless, I would think, making people feel like they're doing something when they are doing nothing, but deluding themselves that they are doing something, and something is better than nothing, even when something is nothing. In the good old days, vegetarians, you know, at least had the decency to add a prefix before calling themselves vegetarian, you know, like lacto-vegetarian meant, well, I'm almost a vegetarian, except I consume dairy. And ovo-vegetarian meant, well, I'm almost a vegetarian, except I consume eggs. We vegetarians like to get our food from the nipples of hoofed animals and the poop chute of birds. Let's see, what's coming out of the cloaca next, you know, one of three chances that it will be the incredible inedible egg. Wait, she's about to discharge something from her combination anus vagina. And is it breakfast? Is it, it's poop. Oh, well, better luck next time. Wait, okay, it's next time already. Here comes the discharge. Oh, sorry, it's urine this time out of the hen's cloaca. One more time. Okay, this time, okay, you get your egg. Nice going, vegetarian, or vegetarian, or vegetarian. How sad that word has been hijacked by the dairy and egg industries, so much so, who laugh all the way to the bank with vegetarian money. You know who else laughs all the way to the bank with vegetarian milk money? Cardiologists, oncologists, dialysis machine manufacturers, they're really lacto-ovo vegetarians who are the lacto-vegetarians vegetarian for their health. LOL. I mean, I should say. I guess I shouldn't say vegetarian. I should say mammary cloacans. That's better, huh? Let's call those nipple sucking vegetarians what they are. They're mammary cloacans, right? And how can you have a cheese omelet and a glass of cow's milk and call yourself vegetarian? How is that possible? Now Arby's, seeing what hypocritical vegetarianism is all about, sends an open letter to vegetarians. In essence, what Arby's is saying is that, look, up until now, you've been able to feel good about yourself, you know, financing the rape, torture, confinement, mutilation, and murder of cows and chickens by calling yourself vegetarian. I see it's time for a break. We'll continue our discussion here. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Click Donate at GoVeganRadio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. There are also two Bob Linden pages on Facebook. I make sure I have to do everything in triplicate. Nothing is easy. And nothing is easy technically today. My normal hookup with the studio, through the intricate equipment I have here, isn't working, so if I sound like I'm one of the callers on the phone to the show, because I'm one of the callers on the phone to the show today, using my phone here. Let's see. Let me make sure I still have enough power in the phone. Okay. All right. This'll get us through it. We may try to hook up through Skype next break. We'll see. Anyway, so I was talking about Arby's trying to appeal to vegetarians, and so I'm saying that now I can see the confusion, in the sense that now I can see how pigs might come to be included in the circle of vegetarian oppression. Like cows and chickens, Arby's wants vegetarians to eat bacon now. It says it's tempting us because it now has sweet bacon. Up until now, vegetarians have only chosen to oppress cows and chickens. But maybe Arby's sees that the Humane Society of the United States has a pig farmer vice president, and that the Humane Society of the United States distributes discount bacon coupons. Yes, a dollar off Applegate bacon. And then maybe Arby's thinks that, you know, look at Mercy for Animals. Mercy for Animals says that Tyson's is making progress for pigs. So, you know, with the progress, you know, in the treatment of pigs, we can probably eat them again soon, right? If all the progress that's promised is made, whatever progress that was. We can have lacto-ovo-porcine vegetarian, right? Maybe Arby's recognizes that there's no difference between a lacto and or ovo-vegetarian and a meat eater. If you're a cow's milk, yogurt, cheese, butter, ice cream vegetarian, well, you may as well eat the steak or the hamburger because the cow knows no difference, except for the added cruelty and suffering because of the exploitation of their bodies over the years. It's actually kind of even worse, you know? So I don't know what kind of vegetarians, you know, Arby's is trying to reach. But, I mean, there are people who eat fish, you know, and call themselves vegetarian. People who eat chicken, you know. I mean, the president of Mercy for Animals, for example, he wrote to the Huffington Post about in response to Arby's, and he starts off saying, "I am a vegetarian." Well, Nathan Runkle makes that declaration. He says, "I am a vegetarian," under the headline, "Thanks but no thanks, Arby's. Vegetarians don't want your meat." Hey, but if you had a nice cage-free egg salad sandwich, who knows, right? Runkle writes, "I'm a vegetarian, and I have a message for Arby's. Your bacon is disgusting." Now, if you would get some good bacon, you know, from our friends at HSUS, maybe from Joe Maxwell, the pig farmer vice president and high office there, you know, maybe that would be okay, huh? Dollar off coupons, right? So I don't really know. So Runkle's writing, I don't know. You know, he says, you know, your bacon is disgusting. Well, will he condemn all animal farming or just demonize factory farming to Arby's? Quote Nathan Runkle, "The animals you slap between sandwich buns come from factory farms crammed by the thousands or even tens of thousands into rank windowless sheds. Pigs, cows, and chickens on factory farms live cheek by jowl. Covered in urine, feces, and blood, their routinely mutilated body parts are sliced off without painkillers and mercilessly abused, hurled, kicked, punched, stabbed, dragged, and slammed into concrete floors, skipping to it. So I guess just factory farms are bad, and not all animal farms." And he says, "You may have chosen to target vegetarians in your latest advertising stunt because you're scared of us and our growing power as consumers. I don't blame you. The number of vegetarians and vegans in America is skyrocketing." Well, as you can see, Runkle draws a distinction between vegetarians and vegans, and he calls himself a...
We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, two Bob Linden pages. Oh, by the way, tickets are for sale right now for the second ever World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's happening next July 29th, 30th, and 31st. That's 2016. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Early bird discounted tickets are on sale right now. $77 for adults, $67 for college students. No matter what college you attend anywhere in the world. So go to worldvegansummit.com. A very special event. We all have to get together and focus our advocacy on veganism. It's the only thing that'll be able to save the world from climate change, to save us from extinction, to make sure we can have a glass of water in California. So worldvegansummit.com. Next week, Wayne Shun will be on the show. He is one of the founders of Direct Action Everywhere. Professor Gary Francione and I have been quite critical of Wayne and the activities of Direct Action Everywhere, as you can see on Facebook. And next week, Wayne will respond to those criticisms on this program. So tell your friends to tune in. You can click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And just finishing up with this response to Arby's, which put out an open letter to vegetarians saying, oh, you may be tempted by our new, I don't know, sweet bacon or whatever. Yeah, we're supposed to be tempted by decomposing body parts. So Nathan Runkle was writing in the Huffington Post. Nathan Runkle, the founder of Mercy for Animals. And when he opened the article, he said, I am a vegetarian. Really? Boy, I thought Nathan was vegan. But, okay, so he said he's a vegetarian. And then later in the article, he says, okay, you may have chosen to target vegetarians in your latest advertising stunt because you're scared of us and our growing power as consumers. I don't blame you. The number of vegetarians and vegans in America is skyrocketing. And as you can see, Runkle draws a distinction between vegetarians and vegans. He says the number of vegetarians and vegans in America is skyrocketing. Earlier in the article, he said, I am a vegetarian. And while he identifies himself as a vegetarian, is it that he just doesn't want to eat the meat at Arby's? If Arby's had a nice cage-free egg salad sandwich, would that be okay? So Runkle won't eat Arby's meat. Would he visit a Dairy Queen? How about a Long John Silver's or Chick-fil-A? Some people eat chicken and consider themselves vegetarian. Why confuse the issue? Why does Runkle only speak out against meat lately? Not a peep about eggs or dairy. Really, you are either vegan or you are not. You are vegan or you are the same as a meat eater, no matter what. If you consume any animal flesh or any animal excretions, you know? I don't know. Ask Mark Bittman, that joke of a food critic for the New York Times. Ask him if he's vegan. Well, if you ask him at 5:59 p.m., he'll say yes. At 6:01 p.m., he'll say no. He wrote the nonsensical book, Vegan Before Six. He knows he should be vegan. He had the discussion with his doctor. So instead, he becomes a fiction writer with not a drop of the moral character that motivates many of us to be vegan. He says, cheat. He cheats with his morning cup of coffee. As soon as he opens his eyes, he puts dairy in his coffee. Somebody call the vegan police on this guy, huh? Let him go write his next book, Heart Attacks After 6 p.m. So with Arby's letter, it says, Dear vegetarians, we respect you. We respect your life decisions. Arby's, the feeling is not mutual. With all due respect, and when you patronizingly start off by saying, we respect you, with all due respect, don't you love that expression, with all due respect? It's the only polite way of saying, I have no respect for you. All the respect due you is zero, nada. Respectfully speaking, of course. Okay. So Arby's letter continues. This letter is not meant to sway or convert you. We're sharing this to offer our support. Yeah, right. Okay. Thanks, Arby's. You're obviously talking to the chicken and cow abusing vegetarians. who require no further conversion to support animal exploitation. And don't worry, it's unlikely that talk of consumption of decomposing cadavers will convert repulsion to temptation. It's not for me. Arby's is bragging. It says, we have the meats. And you see the cow, pig, turkey, chicken, and fish up at the top of its webpage. Arby's says, every day at Arby's, we serve at least 8 different meats. And we are proud of every single one. I guess Arby's is saying, we're very good at the mass killing of multiple species. And we feel good about ourselves for it. We feel good about getting paid for it, you know. Arby's then says, get to know some of our cuts. Get to know some of our cuts. That's a good idea. You know, there are the slice off the body parts mutilation cuts. There are the slice off the hen's beak cuts, the beaking cuts. There are the remove the pig's teeth cuts. There are the plunge the knife into the throat and slit cuts. There are the plunge the knife and slice cuts. Get to know our cuts. So Arby's is selling us a brown sugar bacon. Shouldn't Arby's be more truthful and say it's selling us a diarrhea-fed brown sugar bacon? That should be more tempting that way, or more truthful. I don't know. People are eating decomposing cadavers covered with pathogens and poop and urine. Diarrhea-fed might sound appetizing, like grass-fed. Pasture raised. Anyway, Arby's has a vegetarian support helpline. And I don't know, we're having such technical problems here today, but I don't know. Ben, are you able to call the Arby's the hotline? It's 1-855-MEAT-HLP. Yeah, let's see what that sounds like. Okay, it's 1-855-MEAT-HLP. I apologize for the sound quality today. I'm coming to you via phone instead of all this expensive technical equipment that I had to buy to be on the air, to be on the network. And can't get the computer to work properly today.
We're here to help you. If you're a vegetarian who's feeling tempted by brown sugar bacon and you can't stop thinking about that sweet meat, press 1. If you're a vegetarian,
okay, let's press 1.
You've worked so hard for so long. We get it. Brown sugar bacon is hard to resist, but you can do this. Now, take a deep breath and go make a salad. You're welcome.
Oh, if only Arby's would tell that to all of its customers. Imagine how much less cancer there would be in society. Okay, well, there you heard it. Arby's, call the Arby's helpline, and it says, eat a salad. Great, great advice. The first good advice from Arby's. So, Ben, let's try it again. There was an option, too. So, let's see, 1-855-MEAT-HLP.
Brown sugar bacon. We're here to help you. If you're a vegetarian who's feeling tempted by brown sugar bacon and you can't stop thinking about that sweet meat, press 1. If you're a vegetarian who's given in and eaten brown sugar bacon, press 2.
Okay, press 2.
We can't blame you. I mean, brown sugar on bacon. Just enjoy it. Your secret is safe with us. If you feel the need to confess, please do so after the beep.
Well, am I confessing after the beep? I really would have liked the brown sugar bacon, but if you would call it diarrhea-fed brown sugar bacon, I think that would be more appetizing. You know that all pigs who are surviving to become Arby's bacon have been fed diarrhea because this porcine virus going around, this deadly diarrhea virus that can only be treated by feeding the pigs diarrhea. And who would have, I don't, we might have been tempted by bacon a lot earlier. Who would have thought that just making bacon sweet would tempt us, huh? Sugar, huh? Can we just put sugar on bacon? On tofu? Yeah, let's have sugar on tofu instead. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Arby's, go vegan. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And there are two other Bob Linden pages just to keep you confused and moving all over Facebook. Coming to you today, a little technically challenged, so forgive me. I have cords and wires tangled everywhere. The usual equipment isn't working, so we use the phone today, and we're happy to talk to Adrian Ling, who is in the UK. He's with Flamil Chocolate, and a few weeks ago on the show, I talked about an FDA study, Food and Drug Administration study of dark chocolate, and it seemed that dairy was turning up in dark chocolate. Even when not listed in the ingredients, now dark chocolate dairy is allowed to be an ingredient in dark chocolate. It's just you would expect it to be listed. And then some of the vegan chocolate that was tested, I think four vegan chocolates were tested. One of them came back positive for having dairy, and the FDA was saying, well, you know, you should look at the warning when it says may contain dairy, eggs, whatever, you know, the may contain warnings or that it's processed on shared equipment with dairy. Maybe we should be treating that instead of may contain. The FDA was suggesting that we should treat it as does contain. So that immediately got me concerned about chocolate, one of my favorite inventions in the entire universe, and we started looking into it. One of the people we contacted was Adrian Ling, again with Flamil Chocolate in the UK. And welcome, Adrian. Thank you for staying up so late or waking up so early. I know it's about 2 a.m. where you are in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah. Hi, Bob. Hi, Go Vegan Rago. Yeah, it's about 2 a.m.
Okay. Well, thanks for staying up with us. And so, you know, you have a very interesting story and perspective on all of this. Well, first of all, how long have you been making? Oh, and by the way, thanks for sending along the delicious chocolate here.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Good.
And it disappeared really quickly, I might say, as chocolate always does in my presence, except now I'm a little concerned. I want to take out the magnifying glass and read the label. But so tell us, you've been producing vegan chocolate for how long now?
Yeah, Flamil have been producing vegan chocolate since the 70s, 1970s. That's quite some time. We produce it in our own factory.
Mm-hmm. And how to what lengths have you gone to make sure that it's vegan? I mean, that's a concern.
In the UK, we've had similar problems to you identify in the US, that quite often dark chocolate can have milk containing in it. And even last year, the UK government did a survey And in this survey, it found that milk was either a contaminant or was in very large quantities, even in dark chocolate. And it, this dark chocolate of various different brands could have either been labelled with may contain or not labelled at all. And so that more concerning is obviously products that are labelled as vegan, but still contain milk.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't find, we contacted the FDA, as I said, the FDA tested four vegan bars, and one of them came back positive, but I don't know what the brands are, so I don't know, but that's that concerns me, so I you know, want to look around and be pure about all of this. What's the situation with vegan labeling then in the UK, and how vegan is it?
Well, this is a very interesting story in the UK, that we have a little bit of a confusion and a little bit of counterintuitive labelling going on, and this has all arisen really because there.
Oh, Adrian, I'm sorry. We need to take a break now, but we'll continue our discussion talking about chocolate. How vegan is it, with Adrian Lang of Samuel Chocolate in the UK. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. You can also click Listen Live at goveganradio.com, where the program is archived. Next week, Wayne Shung responds to the criticism that Gary Francione and I have leveled at Direct Action Everywhere. So tune in for that. Today we are talking to Adrian Lang, who's with Flamel Chocolate in the UK. If you remember a few weeks back, I got concerned about an FDA report on this side of the pond saying that a lot of dark chocolate has dairy in it, even when not listed as an ingredient. And then of the four vegan bars tested, one of them came back positive for dairy, which is very negative as far as I'm concerned. It's an allergen. It's one of the worst allergens. Why do parents feed their children dairy or eggs? All of those allergens, if they're allergens. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, so in talking to Adrian now, so at Flamel Chocolate, for example, Adrian, how do we know your chocolate is vegan?
Well, Bob, it really all comes down to our processing, all our hazard assessments that we make, but overall it is because we manufacture the chocolate from the ingredients, and we are very unique in doing that. It's very important to us. We've invested a lot of time, a lot of money into the production, and it is exclusively vegan, and we check out every ingredient totally. So you can always be assured with a Plamel chocolate, it is always vegan.
Ah, okay. So that's the secret, is that starting with all of the ingredients that go into it, so there was no chance of dairy making its way in.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting parts with chocolate and chocolate processing is that in the UK and I imagine in the US, that a lot of chocolates are branded, but they're not actually made by the company that puts the ingredients together. They might be sold as a bulk chocolate, and they could be then remelted down and renamed, rebranded, and that happens a lot in the UK as well. So products that are sold as vegan may actually come from a larger company in which contamination can take place.
You have some sort of Belgian... Isn't there some sort of Belgian connection you have with chocolate?
in Europe, Belgium chocolate is supposed to be a good chocolate. There's a lot of chocolate manufacturers in Belgium, and two or three of the very large companies that actually sell vegan or vegan-type chocolates in the UK will purchase from a Belgium company. And some of those specifications will actually say in them that they may contain dairy, but when the companies start selling the chocolate in the UK, that warning isn't translated over to the consumers. And of course, you have this conflict, and I don't know whether you have it yourself in the States, but in the UK, we have very clear legislation at the present time, and the legislation states two trading standards officers, and trading standards officers are like the government officers that go round to check to see what is in the product. This guidance note says very clearly that vegan foods shouldn't be contaminated, and this is an excellent type of legislation to which we completely support. But it's been slightly confused, particularly in the UK, by societies such as even the UK Vegan Society that has started to allow companies to carry their trademark, the vegan trademark, which has the vegan logo, and also have a may contain traces of milk, eggs and fish. And if we come back to that government survey, to which you've had in the States, and we've also had a similar one here, that this term may contain, unfortunately, is not one which is only people are finding small amounts, but they're finding consistently large quantities of contamination. So we're not talking about the term may contain as being small, tiny amounts. It is quite considerable amounts, which people would be quite horrified if they knew.
The FDA report said that too, that there were large amounts of dairy in foods not listing dairy as an ingredient. So and we should treat the may contain a little more definitive, as you know, it does treat it as, I think, does contain, is what they were saying.
Well, this is the point, and may contain should be treated as that the company themselves have not looked into it and have not done everything possible to not have milk or eggs or anything else like that in their product. It means the company themselves haven't taken the care to which you and I and most vegans would expect.
Mm. Now, that's a little surprising to me that something could have a vegan trademark saying it's vegan, but may contain milk, eggs, and fish. That doesn't give me great comfort.
No, it doesn't give a lot of people a great deal of comfort either. And it goes further that every week, and even last week, there were recalls in the UK from companies, confectionery companies, where it is confectionery had found to have milk in it but had not been labelled. So you have the added problem that you can't trust manufacturers often to even label their products with the ingredients when they are actually there. And it all comes down to people don't quite realise how absolutely complex the food industry has become and how difficult it is to regulate and to assess from the consumer point of view.
Well, I may have to get my friends on from the Vegan Society in the UK to talk about this, but I don't really understand how one can label something vegan and then, you know, have the may contain on it. I mean, aren't there enough foods out there that are definitely vegan to get the stamp? I mean,
well,
I don't understand.
Yes, there are, and you know, it is done. All of this is done by very well-intentioned people who have the best ideas on veganism, and they really try to transpose what their ideas are on vegan into the manufacturing world and the processing world. Unfortunately, what does tend to happen is that you get people that have, and everybody has their own little bit of definitions of vegan, and we all know people with different vegan views, but unfortunately they are not experienced to translate that information and their skills over to the legislation and to understand how complex the food industry has become and the dangers involved in it. And, of course, the expectations of vegans, which are high and should be the highest. And if a product says it is suitable for vegans in the UK, it should be. Absolutely that. And this is why Plam will have our own trademark, to which we say it is produced to the highest standards possible, and that is absolutely vegan. And that's a very important point that we get over to our customers, that when they see our vegan logo, consumers can be absolutely assured that it's free from all animal products.
And you have government agencies who actually define vegan, right? Like, what is it, the Food Standards Agency?
The Food Standards Agency has a document presently out, and it's currently known as the 2006 Guidance Notes, because there is actually no legislation on the terms vegan and vegetarian in the UK. But what happens is that because government officers need to police what is and what isn't described as vegan, the government do actually provide guidance notes to these officers, and in it, it says there should be absolutely no contamination. Unfortunately, what we do have is we have a trademark by the Vegan Society that does allow milk containing a statement that says may contain milk, eggs or fish. Which is really counterintuitive to consumers that actually see a product and they see something that says what they consider to be vegan and may contain. It's counterintuitive.
It really doesn't compute. I'm sorry to say that. You know, I want assurances. That's why I'm looking for a trademark or a stamp or a logo. This is vegan. I want it to be vegan. So have you had discussions with anyone from the Vegan Society about changing their position?
We have highlighted this for a number of years since we have recognized that this counterintuitive labeling goes on with some of their products. And I have to say it is a relatively small amount of potential products. Chocolate is high on the agenda because of the way it's made, because of the cleaning standards that go on with chocolate. But our issue. But
we were supposed to be assured by the cleaning. That's what people always said over the years. That after a dairy, it's a very very well cleaned. Trust us. Well, I don't trust.
Absolutely, and this is absolutely why these government reports are saying that it's not just small amounts, it's significant amounts. And people who do agree that vegans can put up with a tiny amount of dairy and products, and I've had discussions with people who say, well, if they go down to their local sandwich bar and he kind of does what he can to make a vegan product, and if they have to go down to the tiny, tiny amounts, they won't be able to sell vegan sandwiches anymore. Well, my response to that is that every trading standards officer that the government employs can take things in proportion. So what a small outlet can do, what a small retailer can do, would be completely different to what a major manufacturer can do. And it's all about proportionality.
Okay, so we need to take another break. We'll have a few minutes left with Adrian Lang. He's with Flamel Chocolate in the UK. Vegan, because they start with all the ingredients and they inspect, they test. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook. This program does not contain dairy, eggs, or fish. We are talking to Adrian Ling today of Plamil Chocolate in the UK. And Adrian, you have another maybe minute or two or so. How can folks get a hold of your chocolates? What do you recommend? And was there anything you wanted to mention that we haven't so far?
Well, there's a couple of things, really. And one is that if people don't follow the standards that we think should come along and be adopted and pursued, that not only is the case of milk and eggs and fish an issue now, but it could be other non-allergen meats that could fall into your meal. And even a couple of years ago, a famous case was that a samosa was withdrawn from the market because it contained chicken and milk, but the only reason it was withdrawn is because it contained milk, not because it contained chicken in a vegetable samosa. So that would be a classic example. How you get hold of Plamil chocolate? Well, I'm afraid Plamil is only available in Europe at the present time. We would love to break into the States, and perhaps that's something that here and now we can change, and we'd love to hear from anybody who wants to have real vegan chocolate in the States.
Maybe you'll bring some with you. Maybe you'll come out to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. It's next July in the Bay Area. It would be great to have you here.
That would be absolutely great. You had some chocolate. I'm sure you enjoyed it. We do milky chocolate and dark chocolate. I understand dark is one of your favorites.
I love dark chocolate, definitely. I liked your coffee flavor one also a lot. And they were just great. The organic dark. That's my kind of food.
Absolutely. And, of course, not only are things free from dairy, but we do no sugar ones as well. So that's even better for all those that love.
I like that. These days I'm liking things that are a little less sweet, you know. So,
tastes change.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay. And your website is?
www.plamilfoods.co.uk.
Okay, that's Plamil. Thank you so much. Sorry, couldn't hear you.
It's great been talking to you.
Our pleasure, definitely. Thanks for being with us today, Adrian.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So, I forgot. I'm using different microphones and headphones and all today. So if I move, I have to move the microphone with me. I did want to mention. I got a letter from New Zealand, and I'm seeing if I can have the time to talk about this issue. Maybe if I read it, it'll be better than trying to summarize. It says, "Hi, Bob and the Go Vegan Radio crew. Firstly, an introduction from me. I'm Melissa Thorburn from Little Young, New Zealand, a workaholic mom, wife." Let's see. Trying to scroll here. So she's vegan for 2.5 years in New Zealand. I'm an avid listener. Oh, how can I leave that part out? I'm an avid listener to your radio show for quite some time, and I'm seriously thinking about registering for the Vegan Summit next year. Let's see. Anyhow, in New Zealand, a national petrol station, that must mean gas station, a national gas station has a DIY pie competition going on Facebook. It's facebook.com/zenergynz.timeline. Let's see, to view the competition app, you need to click on the DYE pie tab. I don't know what DYE stands for, like DYI. Okay, to get to my point, she says, this competition is turning heads. The competition started 1st of July. It ends July 31st, and it's a people's vote. The top five pies will go into the final, where the Z Station judges and bakers
will bake the pies and choose their favorites for sale in their petrol station cafes. As far as I know, people from overseas can support and vote. See if I can finish up with this. Professor Gary Francione coming up. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Hey, go over to Vegetarian House, the website, vegetarianhouse.us. Great food, and Vegetarian House caters. Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, two Bob Linden pages, and worldvegansummit.com, where you can buy your early bird discount tickets now. Oh, I just wanted to finish up with the email that I got from Melissa Thorburn. She's with the Vegan Society in New Zealand. And as I was saying, there's a pie competition until the end of July. This gas station chain, Z stations, are judging that there's a vote on pies right now. Currently the top two pies, one is a vegan pie and the other is a poor, sad, unfortunate, lovely animal who didn't want to die pie. And the vegan people of New Zealand are asking that you support, vote for the vegan pies. Melissa's pie currently is in ninth place right now. And so they're going to have judges and bakers, and the top pies will be sold in the cafes of these gas stations around New Zealand. And so vegans around New Zealand are looking for help, so they finally have something to eat in New Zealand. Can you imagine? They can go to any gas station and come up with the vegan pie. So again, it's the DYI pie competition. I don't know what DYI means. It's the Z gas station. So if you go to facebook.com/ZenergyNZ/timeline. We'll talk about it again next week and see if we can get help. But we can vote on the pies internationally. So they want to dump that meat pie and make sure all the selections being judged are vegan. So let's help them out and get some vegan food in New Zealand. Right, Professor Gary Francione?
Well, Bob, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, but it sounds interesting.
It is interesting.
yes, it is. I caught some of it with about eyes and gas stations and whatnot. In any event,
right? Well, we'll talk about it more next week, and I'll post about it on Facebook. They need our help in New Zealand to get vegan food.
First of all, I wasn't with you last week because I had spent the weekend at the vegetarian summer fest, which is vegan. Completely vegan, in Johnstown. It's something that happens every year. And it was interesting because I had spoken there a number of times in the 1990s. I haven't spoken there since 2000, I think, so it's been 15 years. And I was asked to come back because of the interest in abolitionist veganism. And, you know, and for those people who may not really know the difference, you know, just to say that you're a vegan doesn't really say a whole lot, because if you're a vegan, if you're a flexible vegan, you're not a vegan, but if you're a vegan who basically does it for reasons of, you know, concerned about animal suffering, but doesn't really think there's anything wrong per se with killing and eating animals, if it was all done differently in a more humane way, that's what we call welfare veganism, very different from abolitionist veganism. And so I was asked to come and talk about abolitionist veganism, which I did, and I gave the keynote address last Friday night, and there were probably, I don't know, 500 people there, and then Anna Charlton and I did presentations on Saturday, three of them, and we filled the room the room held, I think, 170, 180 people. We filled the room all three times because people wanted to talk about, you know, we were talking about Eat Like You Care, the book that we co-authored, but basically that's abolitionist veganism. We were talking about veganism is a principle of moral justice as a matter of fundamental fairness. And, it was very, very interesting to see the reaction of people. So I was very encouraged because I think what I call abolitionist veganism, which is basically what I used to call just veganism until these welfarists came along and started usurping things. The interest is very high. And so I was really very, very happy about that. But the other thing I wanted to share with you that I'm very excited about is we've just launched the abolitionistapproach.com, which is my primary website. We've just launched something called howdoigovegan.com. It's a new site. It's a vegan starter guide. And we just launched it, last weekend, I guess actually technically Monday. And it's already getting a very large amount of traffic. And I'm very proud of the site. It was designed by a team of people, including Sandra Cummings, who was the co-creator of VeganKit.com. She wanted to get involved, in which she did a vegan starter guide that was more explicitly abolitionist than VeganKit.com is. So she was involved, and Vincent Kahane and Mariana Gonzalez and Anna Charlton and myself. And we put together a small team. We worked on it. We did the text. Vincent is just terrific, very talented with website design. In addition to substance, he's very good with the technical end, the artistic end of things. And he did a terrific job with Sandra. I hope people will find it to be a useful resource. I mean, we've got information in there about why they should go vegan, what abolition veganism means, about going vegan is easy, and about nutrition. We've got recipes, a product guide, all sorts of information. The feedback we're getting is terrific, so I hope that people will find it to be a useful resource. But anyway,
howdoigovegan.com.
Indeed, how do I go vegan? It's interesting. I wanted to call it something like, abolitionist vegan starter guide or something. And I got outvoted. Everybody said, no, that was just too boring. And that we had to have something, like if someone sits down in front of the computer and they're trying to figure out how do they go vegan, what are they going to type in? How do I go vegan? And so I think that was probably the right decision, although I wasn't happy with it at the time. And but I think it's a terrific.
I like it. I like it. I think it's I think it says it right. It says what needs to be said.
And it's and really what we're trying to do is I say we're trying to get people away from this idea, this welfarist vegan idea that basically veganism is just a way of reducing suffering, along with cage free eggs and crate free pork and all that sort of stuff. And so, the large groups promote veganism to the extent that they promote veganism. They promote it only as a way of reducing suffering, along with many other ways of reducing suffering. Whereas, as abolitionists, we promote it as a fundamental principle of justice and fundamental fairness. And we don't see it as simply a way of reducing suffering. We see it as the very least that we owe to non-human animals, if they're members of the moral community, if they have any moral status at all, we cannot justify eating them, wearing, using them. And so, it's been interesting. And have you seen the site yet, Bob?
I have not, but by the time we have next week's show, I will look at it and probably be recommending it to lots of people. So
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it, and I think it's a good job. But I also mentioned when I was at the Summerfest, I talked with a lot of folks about the upcoming summit, and there's a fair amount of excitement about that early on, which I think is great. So I expect that we will have another large crowd like we had at the first summit, perhaps even larger.
I'm hearing it and feeling it. We have a location that allows a greater capacity and the ability to charge lower prices in acquiring the venue. So I think we're looking good from what I'm hearing from people. I mean, people are interested. The letter, the email I was reading was from someone in New Zealand who was considering coming for the event. First, we need to help them get vegan pies all over the gas stations of New Zealand. But and then I had somebody who wrote to me this week who kind of liked what I wrote about in response to Bruce Friedrich, and then he wrote, comma, that he saw you at Vegetarian Summerfest, and he felt that people are finally starting to get it. That was his reaction. He felt like the reaction was comprehending what you were saying instead of the blank stares we get when we say, like, what do you mean cage-free eggs, you know?
Well, you know, Bob, it was interesting because that's the sense that both Anna and I had, was that people were, like, listening and saying, you know, this makes sense, and we didn't really understand it before. And I think that, you know, now that's the crowd that you get at Vegetarian Summerfest is a little bit different from what you would get at a Vegan Summit, because the Vegetarian Summerfest, you know, has a lot of people there who are interested in veganism from strictly a health point of view. And I realized that there were some of those folks at the summit, the first one, but I had a sense that the people at the summit were more interested in discussing the morality of it as a general matter. Obviously there was discussion about health issues, but I just had the sense that the overwhelming interest in the summit, I don't know whether you agree, was basically as an ethic, you know, was approaching veganism as an ethical issue. But
yes, that's it. But we also want to trick people into going vegan, whatever it takes, if they want to.
No. The empirical evidence is clear. You got to be an idiot to doubt that veganism is, excuse me, a much healthier way of eating than any other option. So I mean, you know, that's a no brainer. But
and the way of addressing climate change and avoiding extinction of the human race, you know, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I just thought it was interesting because the crowd at the Summerfest was just really interested in sort of exploring this idea that, you know, gee, there's a difference, you know, that not all vegans are the same, and that, you know, and that vegans basically have different ways of looking at veganism. And you know, they were really getting into the discussion. And as I say, you know, when we did the workshops on Saturday, I thought, well, you know, there were going to be small, intimate sorts of things. And it turned out that we had, you know, almost two. As a matter of fact, they were having to close the doors because there were too many people crowding into the rooms to talk with Anna and me. You know, that sort of crowd makes it impossible to have any sort of intimate discussion, but we try it. I mean, we try to sort of involve as many people as we could, but when you've got a couple hundred people in the room, it doesn't really lend itself to sort of, you know, close discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we have the World Vegan Summit and Expo next July 29th, 30th, and 31st, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll be conducting presentations those 3 days. We have to take a break. Go to worldvegansummit.com and get your discounted tickets right now. We'll continue with Professor Francione. GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. And our thanks for support from Vegetarian House, 100% vegan organic restaurant in San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Go to vegetarianhouse.us. Check out this immense menu, just wonderful international cuisine, one of the best vegan restaurants in the world. If you are planning to come out to the World Vegan Summit and Expo next July, make sure you leave some time to head over to Vegetarian House. It's an experience you will long remember. Hopefully you'll remember the summit also. If you live in the Bay Area, you don't have to wait till next July, and you can have Vegetarian House cater your next event, social event, business event. Go to vegetarianhouse.us. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Early bird discount tickets are on sale right now, just $77 for adults for all 3 days, $67 for college students, whatever college you attend, wherever it is in the world, and the rates will go up in August. So get your tickets now for all 3 days, July 29th, 30th, and 31st of next year. And we're talking to Professor Gary Francione, as we usually do about this time, although we'll talk to you a little earlier next week when you come on at about 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. We will be having a discussion with Wayne Shung of Direct Action Everywhere at that time. Did I lose you, Professor Francione? Did I lose my radio show? I can't tell. I'm working with different wires and headphones. I have three microphones and three pairs of headsets around. So for all I know, Professor Francione is conducting a lecture right now. Or I'm on the air. So if I'm on the air, then let me ask you once again to go to worldvegansummit.com. So it'll be 3 days. It'll be at the University of California at Berkeley. And I think we have Professor Francione back on the line. Are you there now, Gary?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I got cut off. Bob, I wanted to comment on that response that you gave to Bruce Friedrich. I'm deeply disturbed by these welfarist folks because, I mean, his rather cavalier attitude in saying that, you know, he thought that you, he said something about your obsession with him was creepy or whatever. What I find really creepy, and I think you do also, is the fact that we've got a movement, and I hate calling it that. It's just like something, it's nonsense. All it is a bunch of bloated charities that are partners with institutional exploiters. But, you know, this idea that, you know, I mean, Bruce is, you know, cheerleads for organizations like HSUS that, you know, that has a pig farmer as a vice president. You know, he promotes all this happy exploitation nonsense and then says that, you know, that and makes these ad hominem comments about you. I just don't understand it, and it's really very disturbing to me. And next week I'm looking forward, we're going to be speaking with Wayne Shun next week, are we not?
Yes. We'll start at 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time. So,
I've spoken with Wayne before. I met him when he was a law student. I gave a lecture at the University of Chicago, and he was in the audience. And afterwards, we met and talked. And I'm hoping that, you know, we're going to have an interesting discussion, and that it will be, I hope, on a different level from the sort of ad hominem acerbic comments that you get from a lot of these folks who just don't seem to be able to discuss it.
Yeah, they don't want to stay. They won't stay with the issue. So Bruce thought, you know, he could just, you know, like just wave me, you know, just swat me away by saying, "Oh man, I should be flattered by your obsession, but it's kind of creepy." Well, I'm obsessed with the plight of animals, you know, and what Bruce is doing is kind of creepy. And I guess if people want to read that response, it's all over my Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden page and the two Bob Linden pages. And a lot of people have been sharing that one. There's been a really strong response to that. It seems to have struck a chord.
Well, somebody introduced me to a meme generator this past week. And
it looks like we're out of time. The music's playing. You're playing with a meme generator. We'll have to look at your abolitionist approach on Facebook and see what you're doing. Thanks. We'll talk again next week. It's Go Vegan Radio with